Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for attending this session. So we're going to be talking about the provision of IUDs in an STD clinic setting. Most STDs clinics focus solely on STD treatment and prevention. However, many women presenting for care are at high risk for unintended pregnancy. Long-acting reversible contraception like the intrauterine device or IUD are highly effective in preventing pregnancy, with rates less than 1% per year of use of pregnancy rates. Concerns about safety of IUD use in populations at increased risk for acquiring STIs have limited their use. Indeed, in a recent survey of U.S. primary care and OBGYN physicians, less than half would recommend an IUD to women with a history of STI, despite guidelines from national organizations such as the CDC and the American College of OBGYN, stating that this is not a contraindication. Recent literature has shown risk of an IUD contributing to PID, even in the setting of an STI detected by screening at the time of insertion, is low. In a large study of over 50,000 women who received IUDs in a Northern California managed care organization, Suffren et al. Reported a rate of PID of 0.54% 90 days after insertion. This included patients who were screened for gonorrhea and chlamydia on the day of insertion or not screened based on history consistent with low risk for STI. In a review of studies on IUD insertions, Mology et al. Predicted PID rates of 0 to 2% without and 0 to 5% with an STI at the time of insertion. We could not find information on rates of PID and complications associated with IUD insertions in an STD clinic setting, so the objectives of this report are to describe the provisions of IUD in our STD clinic, to assess the incidence of PID within 90 days of insertion, and to examine rates of discontinuation of the IUD within 90 days of insertion. Our setting is the Denver Metro Health Clinic. It is the largest STD clinic in the Rocky Mountain region, with approximately 14,000 visits per year. Since 2001, our clinic began to offer Title X-funded family planning services. As I'm sure many of you know, Title X is a federal program that provides family planning services to males and females who are eligible to receive them. So women who can reproduce, women who haven't had tubal ligations, women who haven't had hysterectomies, men who are in heterosexual relationships. These are some overview statistics of our family planning population from 2011 to 2013. As you can see, there's slightly less than half the clients are female, and about 42%. Looking at the females only, ages under 25 is about 51.8%, over 25, 48%. Our rates of gonorrhea and chlamydia are 2.7% and 13% respectively. The enrollment rates for family planning of the patients who present, or the clients who present to our STD clinic, we enroll between 75 and 90% of patients who are eligible. This is a little bit more about our family planning population. Another brief snapshot for these 2 years show 51% of the females self-identify as white, 18% black or African-American, 25% no racial data was captured. Close to 40% self-report as Hispanic, and close to three-quarter of our clients are 100% or less than 100% of the federal poverty level. So most are either on government insurance program or are uninsured. This is a look at our clinic process. Clients who present to the clinic for care are triaged at registration to help decide which type of visit they need based on presenting complaint or need. The electronic record flags clients who are eligible for family planning services, and those who are interested can receive it at any of the visits that we do in our clinic. So depending on what their symptoms are, they can end up in any of these buckets, but as you can see, FPS, which stands for family planning services, can be offered in any of these types of visits. Services offered by family planning include all that are offered on this slide. All of our staff have been trained to follow protocols on the provision of family planning services. Two nurse practitioners were hired and trained to dispense long-acting methods such as the progestin implant. Using a careful approach and a structured protocol, we added IUDs as a method in 2009. Clients who opt for contraception are offered education on all types available. Women who decide on an IUD are usually then seen by either the nurse or the nurse practitioner. They are administered a screening questionnaire, which goes into depth in terms of current sexual history, sexual partners, history of PID, history of previous STIs, and extensive education around risk reduction is usually happens in that visit. Women in our protocol, we require women to have a negative gonorrhea and chlamydia screen within 30 days of insertion. And either they can provide it from another location or they get screened that day. They are then scheduled for an insertion visit. If the STD screening is positive, they are called, treatment is given, and the insertion is scheduled immediately after the following of treatment. So we did a retrospective computerized chart review of women who received IUDs from January of 2011 to June of 2013. We measured gonorrhea and chlamydia rates in this group within 45 days prior to insertion. We measured incidence of PID up to 90 days after insertion, and we measured the rate of discontinuation 90 days post-insertion. So the number of unduplicated family planning female clients in this group was 7,438. We provided IUDs to 404 women, about 5.4% of the group. The IUD group mean age, the main thing that we noticed was that the IUD group had a mean age that was older than the overall group of family planning clients. So the mean age was about 28.3 versus 26.5, and that did reach a level of significance. If you're interested, the copper device was slightly more popular than the Mirena, but only by a little bit. Prior to insertion, 14 of the women had positive STD screens for chlamydia within 45 days of insertion, so at a rate of 3.5%, and none were positive for gonorrhea. Our PID incidence rate was 0.7%, only three women at 90 days post-insertion. Two of them were treated for PID and kept the IUD. One discontinued because of pain that she'd had since the insertion. I should mention that PID was based on the clinical diagnosis of the nurse practitioner who saw the patient. The discontinuation rate was 2.3%, so 10 women discontinued 90 days post-insertion. Six were because the IUD was starting to come out, was expulsed. Four because of pain and bleeding. We had two unintended pregnancies in the group. One of them was in one of the women that had the IUD partially expulsed, so a rate of 0.5%. So we noticed no difference in adverse outcomes with provision of IUDs in an STD clinic setting compared to other primary care settings. Our data was favorably compared to the national rates and literature rates that I quoted earlier. We conclude that the provision of IUDs is feasible in an STD clinic setting. Of course, we're limited by the possibility that patients were lost to follow-up. We may have missed some cases of PID if they went to an emergency room, didn't come back to see us. We may have risked some discontinuation for the same reasons. And of course, our PID was diagnosed by clinical impression, and that's always a little subjective. So our future direction is that we did initiate a same-day IUD insertion program in 2014 with ongoing monitoring for adverse outcomes. We will continue to screen for gonorrhea and chlamydia prior to insertion, but we can now do it at the same visit. Hopefully we'll get a little more behavioral data with the next round of data collection so that we can give a little more information about the women who are receiving IUDs. Thank you for your attention. I appreciate your comments and questions.
Thanks a lot. We have time for one or two questions. Anybody? There's a question in the back. Looks like Ward.
Yeah.
Shout it out and I'll repeat it.
Okay, great. First of all, congratulations. The center has always been ahead of the curve in terms of providing full-scale sexual and reproductive health planning as part of the STD and HIV service. And this is just another example of moving the bell-shaped curve from long-acting methods
So the two questions were, there's a lot of congratulations in the beginning, and the two questions were, any idea why counseling why Marina wouldn't have been more popular, and about counseling to improve the use in younger women?
I can only give you my impressions as a clinician in terms of the Marina versus the Copper, and it seems to be very individual. So some women have a bias, I don't want a hormone. And so even if you talk about the benefits and decreasing periods, they just don't want to be exposed to hormones. Other women don't like the idea of not having periods. So some women find it reassuring to have periods every month, and so they prefer the Copper. Certainly the Copper, in terms of being available for 10 years of use, is very advantageous. So I think it just it becomes a personal choice. As far as younger women, I think we are going to start to see more of that being used, especially now with the loss of there's very little available for emergency contraception now in a large group of women. And so I think that we're going to be seeing more of that being used in young women. And certainly the data from St. Louis was very encouraging, and I think we're going to be happy. We are happy to give it to teenagers in our clinic.
One more? There's someone in the back. You are standing. Yay! The two questions were for the recorders, did you do any time studies, and do you have a walk-in schedule?
We do have a walk-in schedule. The patients walk in, and then once they're triaged, we actually have an appointment time, so they can choose to wait until the next available appointment is open or come back. So patients have seemed to be pretty satisfied with that, as opposed to having to call ahead of time. So we can usually accommodate people who walk in. The time issue is a real issue, and actually we're struggling with that in our clinic right now. So the move to do same-day IUDs, what we're finding is, and we did implement that in January, is that by the time you determine the method and then sort of do all the education, sometimes you're at close to 45 minutes, and that's about the length of our appointment. And so we're still trying to figure out how to make that happen the same day. And I have to say that we're still struggling with that. I think but the more you do, the better you get, and inserting IUDs doesn't really take that long if you do a lot of them.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Oh, can I please acknowledge Dr. Judy Schley, who actually started this program and I think is a visionary in incorporating family planning and STD clinics. Thank you.
That's very good. Thanks very much.